of the British Parliament, Hansard, is pretty much that way. Minutes can also be a highly edited, smooth presentation of what they thought they wanted to say, and in many cases, things added after the fact. The U.S. Congressional Record is that type of a thing. There's about one-third of the published U.S. Congressional Record is stuff that's entered in that is never stated on the floor of the Congress. Now, tonight's minutes approximate Hansard. As a result, it's taken from a tape. So in one place where the word poll, P-O-L-L, was intended, P-O-L-E is in there. There are a whole bunch of things like that. There are a lot of sentences where the noun, the subject and objects are singular and the verb is plural or vice versa. And there are places where commonly misspoken words are used, real instead of really, things like that. I started marking these things down. I've got 9 of them. I think really that these corrections should be made. I don't want to trouble you with going through all of them. I'd just like to be able to hand it to the lady at the desk there and say, here, would you just put these things in here and it'll all look a lot better. Now, I think we also ought to think about how we want our minutes, just not this committee, but the board in general, whether we want to approach the Hansard model, which is what we've got here, or whether we want to, we certainly don't want to approach the Congressional Record. We don't want to have a PR piece that's put together after the fact. But one thing that we all can do to help with this is to be careful when we're sounding off in meetings. We're not sitting around the dinner table with a glass of wine and just talking back and forth. We're trying to speak precisely and grammatically, and it might be a good idea to try to do that. But could we just have this blanket omnibus correction, which I'll give to Ms. Buzzboom, and let it go at that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Ralph, I agree wholeheartedly with you. In fact, if I'd been here when the minutes were mentioned, my intention was to say, please do not approve these minutes. We worked very hard on these minutes, but I have to tell you, I have never had such a frustrating set of minutes. I've never heard so many intelligent people not finish sentences and barely even get the subject of the sentence out. And we just needed a lot more time on these. But we knew that you also wanted to see these minutes because you may be making a decision tonight. So even if you hadn't had that reaction, I did not want these minutes to be approved tonight. I'd like to bring these back.
You recommend that we not approve them?
Absolutely. They're
back for editing?
Yes.
Well, I didn't put in there. I restrained myself.
If you've only marked 9 times, you've been very... Yeah. No, I know for a fact we got a lot of work to do on these minutes, and these are long minutes, and they were very detailed, and I sent back minutes a lot of times, listen to tape, and it came back to me, this is actually what it says.
This is not to say that detail shouldn't be there. This should be a faithful record of what the members of this committee were saying or trying to say with egregious errors or blunders, nicely excised, without changing the meaning whatsoever. If somebody made a damn fool statement, the damn fool statement should be there. But it should be grammatically correct.
Okay. Well, it's up to the committee if you want to turn these minutes down. We can certainly do that, and then it will be up to the staff to present us with a better version next month. Mr. Kurtz.
Can we approve the minutes with the changes to be later on inserted?
Mr. Weibel?
I think that'd be out of order. When you approve the minutes, it means that's the final version. And they're also posted on the public website once they're approved.
Yeah.
You want this stuff?
Sure. Mr. Jones?
here, over here, and it's in my hand.
Ms. Ammons.
Mrs. Chair, I move that we the committee returns the minutes to the staff.
Well, all we need to do is not approve them, and that will handle the whole thing. So let's keep it simple. Okay. Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Noes have it. Okay. We will see these minutes next month. Public participation. I have no slips if anyone... We could get some with little legs on them. Mr. Barnhart, you want to say something?
It's very hard to follow those comments. I hope they don't apply to the public as well, because I'm sure these statements are going to be full of blunders and egregious things and maybe some foolishness.
We'll make you laugh.
please fix it. I want to talk a few minutes about the LRMP, in a minute specifically about some of the proposed revisions. But before that, there are a couple of issues that I think that come from the land use goals and policies that maybe the steering committee could have inserted into the new LRMP but neglected to. And I would just like for all the members of the committee to again refer back to both the land use goals and policies and the LRPs and check those old policies against the new ones and make sure that there haven't been some deletions that maybe should be there. One that I think should be there is from the Section 5 of the existing land use goals and policies. Says that Champaign County will strive to preserve agricultural belts surrounding urban areas to maintain the agriculture nature of the county and the individual character of existing communities. Seems like a pretty straightforward, good planning practice to me, and it got left out this time. Another one, Champaign County will prioritize the maintenance of existing roads over expenditures for new or additional roads, and that's current land use goal and policy 6.10. One that's not currently existing and one which I tried to get through the steering committee unsuccessfully, but sort of relates to, I think, Mr. Nudo's comments at the last meeting. Champaign County will encourage use of physical impact analysis, cost of community services studies, and cost of use models when considering development proposals. There are costs involved with development as well as tax benefits. So that's three areas or three different models that might be useful in assessing those. In relation to the revisions that were proposed, if we look at Goal 3 for agriculture, Champaign County will protect the long-term viability of agriculture in Champaign County and its land resource base. So we're talking about two things. We're talking about preserving agriculture. We're talking about preserving the resource base. That's the overall goal. So the decision is going to be, how do we do that? And there's a statement in there, an objective in there, about Champaign County will strive to minimize the fragmentation of the county's agricultural land base and conserve farmland, generally applying more stringent development standards on best prime farmland. From a couple of other sources, from the now defunct and possibly failed Illinois Growth Task Force, some of the recommendations from the Farmland and Natural Resources Committee. Agricultural zoning should restrict the size and number of residential lots created on agriculture parcels. From a paper by Deborah Bowers, who is the editor of the Farmland Preservation Report and author of several books, effective agricultural zoning does two things. It promotes and otherwise helps agriculture be productive and profitable, and it protects productive lands, the resource upon which agriculture depends, by placing limits on both the type of development and the amount of development that can happen in agricultural areas. Seems rather reminiscent of the goal that we established, or at least a pretty close approximation. And then another quote, so what is effective agricultural zoning? It's zoning that will protect the type of farming that is occurring in a given community. When considering the level of density that should be allowed, look first at your average size farm. So, in reference to revisions A and B of Objective 3.1, first of all, I don't think that the draft, the text of either one of those matches the table below. If it's actually 1 per 40, you wouldn't see a 1 under a parcel size of 5. If it's actually 2 per 40, you wouldn't see a 1 under a parcel size of 5. And I don't really think that this is 2 per 40. I think it's really an expanded 1 per 20. Because you also wouldn't see, if it was 2 per 40, you'd see 2 at 40, you'd see 4 at 80, you wouldn't see 3 at 60 as well. So I think the text and the table don't match. But assuming that we're going to go by the table, I have found over the years that it's helpful for me to think in terms of what does this mean in terms of a section of land, 640 acres, 1 mile square, on the ground in Champaign County. So, some of you have seen one of these before. This happens to be the section that I live on. The parent tracts are 160, 120, 40, 240, and 80. And so then I try to devise under these various scenarios how many lots would potentially be allowed on that section. Proposed policy 3.1.5 under this scenario, 14 lots. The longstanding Farm Bureau policy, 16 lots. The 1 plus 1 per 40, 17 lots. The 2 per 40, 18 lots. And the current policy, 32 lots. What's the current policy? Well, you get 3 lots up to 25 acres. Between 25 acres and 50 acres, you get 4 lots. Over 50 acres, you get 3 lots. Plus, you get any number of 35-acre lots. It's sort of confusing and rather intense. I guess, and I skipped what I really wanted to say to start with, was I would like all of you to assume that you are a farmer in Champaign County. How many non-farm residential lots would you be comfortable with on a section of land? Taking into account, you know, the nuisance issues going both ways, the infrastructure issues, the service issues, how many are appropriate? Another sample, a different section in the same township with different tracts. This one has 60 acres, 20 acres, a 4-acre plot, a 5-acre plot, 151 acres, 80 acres, actually 380s and 440s. I hope that comes up somewhere close to 640. But running through the same scenario, the proposed policy from the LRMP committee, 17 lots. From the Farm Bureau, 14 lots. 1 plus 1 per 40. All of a sudden, this jumps to 26 lots. 2 per 40, or what I really think is 1 per 20, 30 lots. And under the current county policy, 51 lots. Now, the other issue is, planning and zoning assumes an average number of vehicle trips per day of 10 per lot. So if you end up here with 51 lots, you're talking about 510 trips, conceivably, per day. So, I don't know, I would like you to think about some of those issues, maybe even have the GIS people. This is just two random sections in the county. I mean, if you take another section, it will be different numbers. Maybe they could take a township, or maybe they could take selected sections from each township and just give you a range of what these numbers really mean and what you think is appropriate. In addition to that, yeah, I was pushing the local food section. I agree with the people that spoke in the last meeting. I think this 3.9 needs to be reinserted. I think it can be a no-cost option for the county, but one that the county might gain some good education on and use to make some policy decisions. And the other one I'm sort of confused by is the reason on page 4, objective 7.4, surface water protection. Why would we delete and provide appropriate condition for native aquatic species if we're talking about surface water protection? So, that's all I have tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Stenzel.
My name is Norman Stenzel. I live at 5458 County Road, 1900 North Champaign. As I spoke earlier, I think I referred to the wrong goal numbers. The agricultural goal is what I was referring to, not the urban goal. Like to revise my comments, I guess, in that respect. Let me point out some of the areas that I did have concerns about in watching what happened. The LRMP will provide the basis of regulation for those towns, villages, that are unincorporated in the county. And I think attention needs to be, in the urban section indeed, attention needs to be paid to what the LRMP will mean for those communities that don't have a plan. Communities other than Champaign, Urbana, and St. Joe, and Mahomet, and I think attention needs to be paid to the rural character of the county in respect to transportation. The transportation section in the discussion in the development of the transportation section, much of the implication was how does the county interface with Champaign-Urbana and St. Joe and Mahomet and Savoy? The transportation plan needs to take into account, indeed, the whole county. It needs to take into account the transportation needs of agriculture in respect to the whole county. And I don't see that in the goals and objectives currently, and I would think that attention to the rural character of transportation within the county, between counties, should be included in the text in some way. I think the goals and objectives in respect to the interface between the governmental elements that the county has to interface with needs to have some expansion. What is the relationship between the county and the townships? What is the relationship between the county and those unincorporated communities? What is the relationship between the county and its role in respect to obtaining funds from the federal sources in applying them to the needs of the county? That should be part of the LRMP too. I don't see it there presently. I think there's work left to do. You may go ahead and approve these things, but it will be incomplete and lack some of the substance that is necessary to have a desirable future for all of Champaign County.
Thank you. Those are the only two names that I have for participation. So at this point, I will declare public participation closed. We will move on to correspondence. You find in your packet a funding request to the American Farmland Trust Center for Agriculture in the Environment. This is a proposal that has been submitted. It was actually a result of the U of I Extension Conference that some of us attended in LaSalle County, the early part of August. So at this point, Susan Monte, is she still there? Oh, is there anything more you want to add?
No, it's just for your information only. It's a request that was put forward. We could hear back by November.
Okay. All right. There's nothing from the chair's report. An update on House Bill 466, Mr. Hall.
House Bill 466 was approved the day after the ELEC meeting, August 11, 2009, as was House Bill 1003. House Bill 1003 took place or became effective immediately. That's why item 11 is on the agenda tonight. Once the county takes action as House Bill 1003 requires, then you have, in fact, or will retain that jurisdiction beyond the ETJ, and any municipality that wants to request a waiver for any particular development can come before you and make that request. So we can review that item later on the agenda.
Actually, I think what I'm going to do is deal with item 11 and 12 before we deal with 9 and 10. Because I think they're a little more expedient.
Okay. Okay, on item 11, the agenda included the proposed resolution. That resolution was recommended for approval by the policy committee. It's my understanding that this actually is a policy issue, but it's also a very important land use issue, and that's why I wanted to keep this committee updated on it. And in fact, I got a phone call Friday afternoon from staffs of both Champaign and Urbana querying me about what, surprisingly enough, we were actually proposing to do in this resolution. They wanted to verify that we're just focusing on areas outside the ETJ, which we are, and they pointed out that they had a concern that at some point in the future, the draft resolution that went out in the agenda actually has some ambiguities, and when I looked at it and thought about what they were suggesting, I actually agree 100% with them. The draft, the revised draft that's in front of you, the only changes are in the resolved numbered clauses 1, 2, and 3, and that makes it, I think, as clear as possible that this resolution is only talking about annexation agreements that are more than a mile and a half from the corporate boundary. Now, in fact, the county board wouldn't have to go with this revised resolution. They could go with the one that went out in the mailing, and this is actually a matter of law. So even if this was intended to apply to annexation agreements within the ETJ, it wouldn't, because legally you can't force that on a municipality. Nonetheless, I appreciate the comments of the municipal staffs, and I think that revising it like this would actually be good for the long run. Everybody today knows what we're talking about. 15 years from now, I won't be here, and I don't know how many of you folks are going to be here, and I think that it would be good to have this be as clear as possible. But for that to happen, policy would have to agree to replace the one that they approved with this version, and I can certainly attend the county board meeting, get materials out to board members ahead of time if that's what this committee would like to go in support of. But if this committee, the land use committee, doesn't think that these changes are really necessary, then I don't really see a need to change it, because this is really a legal issue when it comes right down to it. I hope I made that clear. Are there any questions?
So just for clarification, the underlined and the stricken verbiage is what's being changed.
Yes, the stricken is to be deleted, replaced with the underlined,
okay,
which makes it very clear that we're talking about properties located more than 1.5 miles from the corporate boundaries.
Ms. Anderson?
So procedurally, if we wanted to adopt this, could we vote on it? And in that motion, recommend it at the county board meeting as a substitute? Or I don't know, I guess.
How would you suggest we handle this, Ms. Busey?
I don't know if that would be possible or not.
I would suggest, probably, as Mr. Hall stated, that a substitute resolution be at your desks at the board meeting, and the policy chair be asked to move what has already been approved, and then an amendment to that.
I move we leave it the way it was proposed in policy.
Okay, we now have a motion on the floor to approve what has already been approved.
This adds back in the line through.
Right, this would add in the lined out areas and subtract the underlined areas. Ms. Anderson?
I like the language here better. I think it's clearer about what we're talking about, and especially, you know, I heard my fellow county board member who left. I was asking questions earlier in the evening and didn't seem to be aware of, was kind of aware of the problem, but didn't seem to know about the legislation. And so if I wanted that, then I would have to vote no on what's being proposed.
Ms. Busey?
I just want to point out that without action by this committee, any board member could probably propose an amended version of the resolution at the board meeting after the resolution that was presented by the committee is on the floor. My only concern is that two different actions on the same issue coming to the county board could be a bit dicey.
Yeah.
If they happen to both pass, where would we be? I don't know.
Mr. Mosier.
If you send it to the board the way policy did it, it's exactly what Deb says. It can be amended there, but at least we'll get it there without sending it back to policy to do it again.
Well, I guess I would agree that sending two versions of the same resolution along is probably not a great idea. And I think amending it at the board would be preferable. And I think because this is a policy issue, I think we really need to defer to policy on this one. So we do have the motion on the floor, and if you're choosing to deal with the revisions at the board meeting, then you really need to vote no on this. Mr. Kurtz.
Views on that, Chair. If we vote no on this, then we can amend it at the county board level?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we can amend it with this terminology if
right.
necessary. Okay.
Right.
Oh, I thought you were voting no on his motion.
Okay.
Barbara, if you want to take this to the county board like policy did, you've got to pass what policy did. And you've got to vote yes with what I moved.
We don't want dueling resolutions, though.
Yeah, but I thought his motion was to keep it as it is. Isn't that what you said, Mr. Mosher?
I said leave it as it is and take this thing to the full board, and if they want to amend it, friendly amendment or some other they can get it dealt with at the board.
Point of order.
We can do it that way.
I would just suggest the chair of the committee rule the motion to be out of order for those reasons and then just drop it.
Oh, that's way too simple.
And then if the body wants to overrule you, they can, but if they agree with you, they won't.
I thought this was going to be easy.
Is this item 9 or item 11?
This is 11. This is item 11.
We're out of our...
Yes, we are, and I did it for the sake of ease and convenience, which was a bad rationale right there. But let's... Okay. So the motion we got on the floor is to forward the original motion that came out of policy. Okay? And if people are inclined to make changes there, make the changes there. All right. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Okay. All right, item 12. Is that easy?
Yeah, we'll find out. Ameren has proposed a new 138 kV line from their Bonneville station to the Southwest Campus station. And as it turns out, the route of the new line does not follow the route of the existing line and by any number of means goes around Willard Airport. And in the past, large power lines passing near the airport have actually ended up being quite controversial for fear of interfering with airport operations. That was the main reason I wanted to put this on the committee's agenda. There's another workshop coming, and we'll find out then what Ameren is thinking about as far as the most likely route. I know the airport is following this. I trust that they'll be able to protect their interests, but I wanted to have it on the committee's agenda so that at least the committee is aware of it and we can follow it from now on, and I can report back following that the next workshop, which is in
October.
So I don't really want any action tonight, but I do want to make you aware of this.
Mr. Kurtz?
Yeah, I was looking over the maps, John, and if you look at the legend, it shows clearly where the project area is and where the end point and beginning point, Bonneville and the campus substation. But if you look down to transmission line voltage, and the legend shows these zigzag, I don't see them in any of these maps where the lines are going to go. Have they not yet decided where those lines go, and why would they be on the legend then?
Well, yeah, those zigzag lines, that's one problem with the software they're using. It likes to use zigzag lines for the legend, but it doesn't use zigzag lines on the map. So the gray lines on the map.
The which lines?
The gray lines, the tone lines that are broad and wide and not black but gray.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong one. Hold on. Okay, got it.
Those are all the alternatives for this 138 kV line. And you can see that the alternatives start up at what I take to be Curtis or Windsor Road, and they go down as far south as about a half a mile south of Monticello Road. And they actually take advantage of every east-west road in between there. Actually, a couple of lines don't even follow roads.
How much of this is going to be in the county? Do you know?
And
any of these lines could be below the University of Illinois,
yeah.
Willard Airport.
The whole thing could end up being in the county, except for where it passes in and out of incorporated areas.
So what authority do we have on this?
The only authority you have is to request that, for example, if the U of I says some of these routes will affect the airport, and you could weigh in and say, we don't want you to hurt the airport. We want you to take a route that doesn't hurt the airport, just to make it very simple. Champaign may actually have some concerns, given that this is right in the area where they're trying to create a nice, attractive gateway to the community. And I don't know anybody that thinks 138 kV line is attractive. So,
I agree.
They are pretty impressive.
Okay, so this does not require any action?
No, I will keep the committee informed about this.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, let's go back to item 9. Began a discussion last month about the draft goals, objectives, and policies. I believe that staff has addressed some of the concerns that we raised last month. I guess we can pick up the discussion where we left off, if you're so inclined. I think we first need on the table a motion to approve these draft goals, and then we can do whatever it is we want to do.
I'd like to make that motion, Chair.
Motion's been made by Mr. Kurtz. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Anderson. Discussion. Mr. Kurtz?
I feel that the addition to 3.10 and 3.10.1 is very important for the future of our development of wind farm. I have in my packet an email coming from Inver Energy and a phone call that was given that was made to me about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, concerning the first application for a special use permit for Inver Energy in about a month and a half from now. And I forwarded that to the ELOC committee and some of their concerns about the wind farm ordinance, but seemed to be cleared up pretty much by Mr. Hall's response to that email. And I think it's important to approve these changes so that we can, well, if you want to say grease the skids, just get it started so we can start to reap the benefits of what clean energy can do for our county as well as the revenues. So I would ask that this committee approve these changes, 3.10 and 3.10.1, and move it to the county board. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Mosier. Discussion. Discussion. All those in favor, all those opposed. I think I heard two or three ayes in there, and there's seven, there's nine people on this committee.
Isn't it for the entire goals objectives?
3.10. Let's try that again. All those in favor of approving 3.10.1? Mr. Langenheim doesn't have the point.
Page 33.
You have it, Mr. Langenheim? Mr. Kurtz?
Madam Chair, I think we already made the vote, and there were no nays, even though there were very few yeses. Since there are no noes, I have to assume that this passes.
We can do that. You okay?
Me?
Yeah. I mean, I assume you didn't register a vote because you didn't know where we were. Now that you've had a chance to read it.
Looking at it, I see it's 6 of 1 and a half a dozen of the other. So I'm not going to read it.
Good.
Meander inaudible.
Okay, that measure passes.
Thank you.
Anything? Any other changes? Mr. Schrader.
Yeah, the changes we asked for in section 3.9. I don't think we have approved that.
Which is where?
I believe in the supplemental 35? Material.
35?
That was, yes. Uh-huh. That was sent to us with a board packet.
14 of 29.
Okay, page 35. Number 4. The revised proposal says, let me think. Okay, objective 3.8 has to do with locally grown foods. Champaign County acknowledges the importance of and encourages the production, purchase, and consumption of locally grown food. And 3.8 would replace 3.9.
Correct.
Okay.
I move that.
Motion's been made by Mr. Schrader. Is there a seconded by Mr. Jones?
May I speak to that?
Discussion. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Now, there's been some discussion. Well, there's at least one member this evening, public, spoke about this and the meeting that preceded this and the county board session. I think I was trying to get a feel for and ask the question of what the county could do to help this. What was exactly what would be expected of the county? And what would the county-appointed panel do? And I really didn't get an answer from anybody about that. And I think my point was that if we look at what currently is going on, and once again, let me reemphasize, I am not against locally grown food. Obviously, I produce it, and I believe in it, and I support it. But I think that if you look at the Lincoln Square Market alone, the private industry has taken and run with that. And it's been a huge success for local growers and also growers outside the county. I mean, I know of a family that started, the Moore family up in Wadsika. They've been bringing things, the vegetables, fruits, meat, since the inception of that market. And they're a mainstay of that market. They've started one in Muhammad. I think my point was I'm not sure what a panel could do to what private industry's already done. And when you go outside the county, I mean, we've already had things in our ordinance for food stands in the county. I mean, there's already allowances by right in ag districts. And I think maybe even in the, some business districts, I could be wrong in that. But the point is you're going to sell that produce in an area that's a population area. And so I'm not really sure, and I never got an answer why the panel and what the county could do to help a panel. I mean, we can't change tax laws or change tax statutes to help them that way. From the standpoint of food safety and things like that, you know, we can't bend laws. There's state statute for sanitation. And a lot of these things already occur in the cities anyway, and they have their own policies and procedures and how they do things. I mean, there was already a controversy early on this year with the Urbana market with baked goods, and that was amended there. So I guess what I wanted to do was for the county in any way they could was promote that production by saying, you know, the county's not going to try and do anything to impede it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Ms. Anderson.
I don't know what that panel would come up with, but I think I heard three different people speaking earlier and indicating that it would be something that would be done voluntarily, would not cost the county anything. And perhaps they would be thinking outside of the box and coming up with ideas that none of us would have. And so I don't see why it is such a controversy. And if what they came and suggested to us seemed like something we couldn't do or was unreasonable, we could vote no. But perhaps they'd come up with something that would be really advantageous and we like. So I guess I don't see what's so controversial about having a panel.
Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. Mr. Schroeder, as someone who actually grows locally food, my wife loves the Urbana Market. Every Saturday morning we're there. As a person interested in promoting it, I would suggest you head up that panel to help promote, maybe marketing, promotion, maybe additional markets around town on other days. I'm just wondering if we couldn't promote more business activity that way with locally grown foods. So I think it's become a larger and larger segment of our agriculture, and I was wondering if you might have some suggestions in that area since you're personally involved.
Ms. Ammons.
Well, although I frequent and participate in urban growing, I didn't understand why it was in here as a land use policy. My question earlier. The other local panel was organizing. And so I think the policy, the land use policy really should focus on actual land use conservation.
Mr. Langenheim.
I think that this is an apparently a good thing, okay? But the question is, does it belong in our zoning ordinance? And if it is in our zoning ordinance, what effect will it have? It sounds an awful lot to me like expending effort on a relatively minor matter over which we have little jurisdiction. It doesn't do any harm, but should we be doing it?
I would just like to caution the committee that this plan is about a lot more than the zoning ordinance. Don't think that everything in this plan has to fit as a regulation in a zoning ordinance, because it doesn't.
Mr. Levy.
Just had a couple of points on a few comments. One is that government does play a role already. The Urbana's Farmers Market is sponsored by the city of Urbana. They have a paid staff person that goes out and does marketing. So government already plays an active role. Something that the county could look at is institutions that provide food, like the jail. Or, where are we getting food for the jail? Where are they getting food? Maybe there's some benefits in looking locally. And maybe, you know, we're promoting the local economy. I guess I don't know the details of where that comes from currently, but I believe it's a county institution. And then regional cooperation. A lot of the issues with local farm co-ops are that everybody doesn't know what everybody else is doing. So having a regional cooperative would help share that information.
Mr. Weibel.
I would agree with what Mr. Hall says, and Mr. Levyeltz, and Ms. Ammons. I think appointment of a panel would be a good thing. It's going to be positive. However, I don't think it needs to be in this plan. I mean, I'd look at other aspects of the plan. They all say things like encourage preservation and restoration of wetlands, support efforts to control and eliminate invasive species. I think this is the only category that states create a panel. Certainly, with the proposed change to encourage production, that means you can create that panel, certainly, and also do all these things we've talked about doing, and other things too. In particular, I think even if we wanted to create a panel, I think you'd want to have it, you know, with other government entities like the City of Champaign, City of Urbana, Mahomet, other places that have farmers markets. And so for that reason, I think that the changes are appropriate.
Mr. Kurtz.
I was just thinking, Mr. Nudo, the nursing home, when we talk about encouraging production, purchase, and consumption of locally grown foods, they certainly use a lot of food at the nursing home. Do they do anything to purchase anything locally grown? Do you know of any? Might be an idea.
All of the food purchased for both the nursing home and the jails is done through a competitive bid process.
Mr. Mosier.
There's 100 people that are sitting around here right now selling fruit and vegetables on Philo Road and out in the country. I had a neighbor that had 3 acres out there that grew all kinds of vegetables and fruit and put a stand up in her yard and said, here's my collection box, leave it here. And she was open 7 days a week. Now, I don't know if we're going to open something up to regulate those people. There's some old guy that comes here from Indiana every year with watermelon and cantaloupe out here on Philo Road. I don't know if he's got to get a permit from the city or what. He sits there and sells it. I think those people ought to be left alone.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of Objective 3.8 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Mosier.
Move to delete either Section 3 or Section 4 in this revision about the county with water quality and contributing to bank stability and providing appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. When we've got drainage ditches in this county that come out of this metropolitan area that are 6 feet deep when you get a 2-inch rain in Champaign. And
can I interrupt you so you can identify where we are? You're talking about surface water protection?
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Surface okay. water protection.
This is page 36. Objective 7.4.
That's on the revision.
Yes. Is that, was that a motion? Oh, okay. Motion by Mr. Mosier, second by Mr. Dennett. Discussion.
Clarification?
Yes.
Is he talking about removal of the 7.4?
Which either one's got to be taken out. I want to delete the one that's in there, not the revision.
So the original 7.4.
No, the original is 7.3.
Right? Oh, 7.3 is it?
3.
Okay. Are we... Discussion. We're on page 36, about the middle of the page. B, right. He wants to drop all of 7.3. Well, the new 7.4. Okay, it's 7.4, surface water protection. Ms. Ammons.
I would have to ask the great gentleman.
It's got to be 7.34 hadn't been approved. I don't know which one it is.
Let's just clarify. What are you asking for again, Mr. Mosier?
I want to take surface water
protection out.
Protection out. Totally out of it.
Okay. Ms. Ammons.
This would apply to any dredge ditch that's taking water out of this town or out of Champaign or Savoy, whether it's Sakaskia or whether it's St. Joe 3 that runs through my farm. We've got all this development up here that supposedly is going to hold back storm water. The last time we got a 2-inch rain, my ditch went up 6 feet in 3 hours, and now it's dry. There's no way a fish is going to survive in there in August. It's dry. There's no way you can control the flow of that water out of these little ditches, even to the Salt Fork. It would be dry right now in places if the sanitary district wasn't running all that water down there from Urbana this time of year. And that, you know, Bill Edwards used to talk about this at Forest Preserve meetings, that we couldn't control the aquatic life in the Salt Fork because we had so many highs and lows from floodwaters to dry weather. And I don't know what business the county's got worrying about that. The state of Illinois has got people out there on the bridge on my ditch taking water samples once a month about whether it's full of phosphate or nitrogen or whatever. And if they're doing that, I don't know what business the county's got doing it.
I need to clarify something. As I understand your motion, Steve, you're eliminating Objective 7.3. There are 5 subsidiary policies under it. Are you also eliminating those?
I want to take out the one that's 7.4 with 7.3 marked out in this revision you sent out. I don't know whether the revision's part of this thing or whether it's got to be added and then deleted. It's on page 36 of the agenda.
Right, and on page 23 of the July 24th memo, you can see the 5 policies that were proposed by the steering committee as necessary to achieve 7.3. So, as I understand what you're saying, you want to strike 7.3 completely from the goals, objectives, and policies.
Right.
Which I, to me, means, unless you would say otherwise, that it also includes the policies that support it.
Well, what have we got this 7.4 in here for? Is this revision a revision, or is this a recommendation, or what? I want that 7.4 out of there.
I thought that was because last time you objected to the native aquatic species being talked about, and the committee asked that they revise the wording, and now the wording takes that out. But do we really want to take out policies that would minimize erosion and sedimentation and so forth? And that seems to then just take everything away. But as I remembered the discussion from last month's meeting, it was the native aquatic species that you didn't really want in there. Do I remember correctly?
That is the change that staff made, and the reason it's been renumbered is staff apparently made a decision to insert the underground mineral and energy resource extraction objective as the new 7.3, yeah. Renumbering 7.3 to 7.4, which is the one that, Steve, you said you'd like to have stricken.
The more I look at that, I worry about whether somebody's going to come out and say we can't cut trees down on a ditch bank or do anything with it, or turn it into what it was before anybody dredged one of those ditches.
Ms. Ammons.
And all of the objectives that are listed in the packet that go beyond drainage dishes and man-made waterways, they would also be stricken.
They would
not have
right.
protections. So
you need yes. If you don't have the policy, you can't have the objectives that go with it. Mr. Langenheim.
Suggest a way he might edit his
Well, I'm inclined to say if the county board doesn't want drainage ditch maintenance practices to be changed, there's nothing in here that calls for that, and it would presumably be your decision later. So I don't really know what to do, Ralph. I would think that once you get rid of providing conditions for native aquatic species, which by nature have evolved to deal with low flows during August and September, I mean, that's what happens around here naturally. So, but everything else I would think would be good if you read those policies.
Mr. Weibel, then we'll go to Mr. Newton.
I'm looking at the items in the presented study session. So page 23 or 29 in the memo of 7.4. The last sentence of 7.3 says, it says Champaign County will work to ensure blah, 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 and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. I think this is what Mr. Mosher doesn't like. Now, I might add that, go to 7.4, says we'll encourage the maintenance and enhancements of aquatic and riparian habitats, which really is a variation of that, except it's not as strong. Because it strictly says encourage and enhance. It doesn't say we'll work to ensure. So if you struck out that last sentence, as it suggests on page 36 of the agenda, you still have a statement in there that encourages the enhancement of aquatic and riparian habitats, which I'm sure includes native aquatic species.
Mr. Nudo.
What does your department do right now with drainage ditches?
We make sure that anybody that's connecting into them gets the drainage district approval.
Okay, so the drainage district really works to ensure, correct? That's where I have a problem with the whole paragraph, because it's not in your domain. I just don't understand why.
Point of information, not all of Champaign County is in a drainage district.
Well, I understand that, but this does include drainage districts. I mean, if you're going to be technical about it, it does include drainage districts, which is Steve's concern. So if this is not in your domain right now, I really don't understand why this. It does have a concern for people who have, drainage districts running through their land, and have not only the issue of aquatic species, but this isn't even right now in your zoning domain right now to do this. So, and then like Pius just said, we'll work to ensure. What does that mean? It doesn't. It has no teeth to it. We'll work to ensure. It doesn't say we'll enforce this code. We'll do this and do that. It's just a generic term, and I don't understand why it's in here. I'm getting to be in lockstep with Carol on this. Carol?
Ms. Anderson.
Well, maybe John can define what we mean by a comprehensive plan. I think I heard him saying earlier, we're not writing a zoning ordinance. This is a plan.
It's a vision.
It says a vision for what we want to see in our county, and it's for the whole county. It's not just for those individual areas.
Yeah, that's what.
So I guess the broader statements seem important to me.
Do you want to respond?
I actually lost track of what the question was, Jan.
I guess I said you might define what we mean by creating a comprehensive plan.
Comprehensive plan is the vision of the future that you see for Champaign County. And if you look at the policies under Objective 7.3, those policies, each and every one of them, relate to our stormwater management policy. Now, I understand why there is this concern over what is the objective says, and maybe the objective needs revised, but to suggest that we not have any policies that talk about our stormwater management concerns would be a big change in direction. And maybe that's what you want, but I question if that's really what you intend.
Mr. Langenheim, and then Mr. Schrader.
I would just like to question the wisdom of following a path that leads to so much confusion.
Mr. Schrader.
I think that's easily quotable in the minutes, Mr. Langenheim. I think what Mrs. Anderson wanted out of this was something simple that clearly explains this. I think the way the goals and policies are written, they're written like an ordinance. I think that's some of the confusion we're running into. The way it's worded and the way it's very direct. It's something like we're not used to. We're used to more muddier waters. This is pretty direct. Mr. Schlitt said it this evening earlier, that this is written very, very precisely, and I think that's what we're running into confusion with. And I think what Mr. Mosier, and he may correct me if he wants, is what we're trying to do on 7.4, because it's it's renumbered from 7.3 now to new 7.4, and that is the last paragraph or the last sentence or half sentence where it's stricken and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. But he may want to go further and stop it and minimize the next part of that section or next third of that section. I don't know, but I think that's what we're trying to achieve. It's the wording in this, and once again, you know, we're cutting here, we're splitting hairs with this, I think. And some of this, there's things I want to talk about yet this evening. I'll try not to go too long, but that's the way I see it.
Anything else, Mr. Mosier?
I guess what I'd like to get at is these ditches that are in drainage districts are either appointed by this board or they're elected. And Pius is right. I know of three or four that are no man's land that flood every time We get an inch of rain someplace because the channel's blocked up with trees and silted in, and a field tile are buried. There's no maintenance on them. And I've got some environmental friends that would just love to turn every one of these ditches into something, make it natural again, so we could flood this whole county. And I don't think that's got any business in this plan.
Mr. Hall.
At the RPC Technical Committee, this staff has taken a lot of criticism from municipal staffs because this is so precise. And yet, in the LRNP Steering Committee, we took a lot of criticism from Steering Committee members who claimed that if we didn't have precise goals and policies, and I can't remember the famous saying, but it's something like all kinds of mischief could be stirred up in the future. And so the staff is kind of left wondering, all we know is people want to know what we're talking about, and this is the only way for people to understand is to be specific. And it does sound like ordinance language, and that's because of the history that we have here in Champaign County. People want to know exactly what we mean when we write a policy because they don't trust us. They don't trust you. And if it's not clear, then it can lead to all kinds of mischief in the future. And that's why we've taken this approach.
Mr. Dennis.
And on the other side, John, that's why some of us think we got to get this right or it's always going to be there. I'm pretty sure that those drainage ditches are more important to the three or four of us farmers sitting in the room than it is to anybody else. And if we don't get that right, what are we going to have?
Mr. Levy.
So when we talk about a land resource management plan and we're talking about our resources, water is one of those big ones. So if we're not going to, not having a policy about one of our largest resources, we always talk about groundwater, but surface water is also a big part of that. It's not just the farmers, it's the people that drink that water that live downstream from us. It's a big issue. It's very important. You're trying to deal with a very important issue. But ignoring it is likely not the best solution. Champaign County has a big resource here, and figuring out how to adequately deal with that is on the table.
We can call the question. Okay. All those in favor of Objective 7.4 that has to do with surface water protection, as stated on page 36, signify by saying aye.
Are we voting on keeping it as it is?
The motion was made to remove it.
Well, that's what I wanted to make.
Right. That was the motion that Mr. Mosher made.
So could you please ask?
Okay, let's try this again. All those in favor of removing Objective 7.4, which has to do with surface water protection, as written on page 36 of your agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
The noes have it. Mr. Kurtz.
I can make a motion to pass 7.4 as rewritten with the and provide appropriate conditions when they're stricken.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the revised version of 7.4, striking the words and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
I'll point out it's really a revised 7.3 to 7.4. On page 36.
Yeah.
It was called 7.3. Now the new version would be 7.4.
Right.
Page 36 of the agenda.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the revised version on page 36 of your agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Okay, yes. Let's do a show of hands. All those in favor of 7.4 surface water protection with the last phrase stricken, signify by raising your hands. All those opposed? Looks like Mr. Mosier, what are you voting?
I'll vote for it to get rid of it.
I think he said yes, but maybe Mr. Schrader, could you agree with that translation?
So if we then it stays as it, then it stays as it is.
So it stays right.
Okay.
Or no.
No, he voted yes, so the motion passes.
Right.
So it's only
also with the passed. With the stricken phrase.
With the stricken phrase.
Okay. Mr. Schrader.
I move we approve the amended section 7.3, the objective, and policy 7.3.1.
This has to do with underground mineral and energy resource extraction?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Ammons. Is there discussion? To approve it. Okay, any other discussion? All right, all those in favor of approving objective 7.3 with the supporting policy 7.3.1, signify by raising your hand, or signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hooray. All right.
I got one more.
Yes, Mr. Mosier.
I want to move to accept draft A revision for 3.15, so 1 plus 1 per 40 instead of 1 per 40.
Second.
Motion has been made.
Which one are we on?
This is on the RPC handout, the little chart. Mr. Mosier's motion is to approve 1 plus 1. Is that okay? The 1 plus 1 per 40. And that's been seconded by Mr. Schrader. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
For clarification, is that on page 34 of the agenda, is that draft revision A?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Discussion. Ms. Anderson.
So if you would prefer the 1 per 40, you would have to vote no on this.
That's right. Any other discussion? Mr. Mosier.
We found out three different times when we tried to rewrite the zoning ordinance in the last 20 years. When it came to 1 per 40, you couldn't do anything with it because of the protests. And I think it's ridiculous to put it in there as long as you got a 3/4 vote of this county board that is never going to approve it. Maybe they'll approve this. And it's somewhere in the middle between 1 and 2.
We could have called this 1.5 per 40. Ms. Anderson.
He said a 3/4 vote. Doesn't this require a majority vote at county board?
Approving the land resource management plan is a simple majority. But Mr. Mosier was sort of looking down the road when protests will become critical to votes. And as he said, we don't have a great track record on overriding protests. Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor of 1 plus 1 per 40, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Let's try this again. Show of hands. Those in favor of 1 plus 1 per 40, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those opposed? 3. Motion carries. Mr. Schrader.
I move we have a language change in the Goal 5, Objective 5.1. Strike rule and...
Hold on. Tell us where it is.
It's on page 35.
Okay. Okay, bottom of page 35,
yes.
Objective 5.1.
Strike a rule and add what's underlined.
Okay, so this is an amendment to Objective 5.1. So instead of saying rural development, we're going to say in unincorporated areas of the county. Right. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Jones. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Schrader.
I would also like to add Goal 3, Prosperity, with Objectives 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3 on page 36, the bottom of the page. And I so move.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded by Mr. Mosier to include Goal 3, which has to do with prosperity, and the subsequent objectives. That has been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Ms. Ammons.
My question on this one would be similar to the proposed committee for... I forgot what it was now. Food Production Committee. What was that? Local... Food committee support. I think that's the same thing. I don't even understand what the point of this goal is. It's just a statement, like a mission statement or something. I don't understand this one.
Someone care to respond? Mr. Levy? No? Okay.
No, I'd be happy.
Go ahead. Mr. Schrader?
I would be happy to respond. I think as we looked at the overview of all the goals and policies that were coming out of this particular land resource management plan, that there were predominantly regulations and rules what not to do in particular cases. And these are goals and policies. It's not ordinance. And the difference, too, is we're not creating a panel in this particular area. And also, it may enhance what we changed in the 3.8 and 3.9 by combining them and putting the language in. By something I mentioned, too, when I spoke about that, was that, in a nutshell, to kind of just stay out of the way. If there's development, if we don't regulate state and federal laws, but it's just something that along the lines of what's flowing through the rest of the ordinance, with restrictions here and limitations there, and along with mineral rights, that was another thing that was added too, that was taken out by the committee. So. From that standpoint, that's section 7.3 with the policy 7.3.1. So the reason I asked to have it put back in, because I thought it also flowed with that policy also and the objective. I don't know if that made it clear or not.
I would just add from, and mostly again based on my experience on this board, that part of the rationale behind this document is the fact that statements like this, and yes, I suppose they could be interpreted as mission statements, but the thing is, when you look at outside funders, be they state or national government, or even some private concerns, one of the things that they look for is to see if there is such a statement like this in the county's official documents. I serve on two or three, I'm sort of losing track, economic development committees. One is a six-county unit, which involves Champaign and the five surrounding counties. And I think if I understand the mission and role of that six-county organization, one of the things that it is charged with doing is identifying areas of economic development opportunity, if not in strictly Champaign County, but certainly within the surrounding areas, since we have a lot of interdependence between ourselves and those other counties. And again, a statement like this can only enhance our chances when we look at funding sources beyond our borders. And I'm very committed to economic development, and a statement like this in a document like this is certainly going to be an advantage. Mr. Weibel.
I think that particularly objective 3.3 is important. If we have, if we have an economic policy that is, say 90% or the exact opposite of what we plan for, that's a serious problem. For example, maybe just making up things here. Somebody wants to mine the topsoil from this county because it's so valuable and sell it to Central Valley in California because it's being polluted because it's irrigated all the time and the selenium, is building up in it. Clearly, they can make a lot of money from that, but I think it would adversely affect this county forever. So I think, obviously I'm exaggerating my example. It's just one pop top of my head, but I think objective 3.3 is desirable and should be in there.
Ms. Ammons.
Certainly, I certainly agree with the language. I think it could be the opening summary of the entire packet. But I, as far as goals and objectives, meaning objective is something. Honestly, this plan can't do that. And I did. Which deals with this particular issue for the county. I think regional planning deals with this. I just didn't see how it fit into the land resource management plan. Now, I agree that the language is very powerful and it certainly could fit, but.
Yes.
I don't know if that would be covered in this land resource management plan, even though I may believe it fits. It's just broad, and it's nothing that I'm looking at 3.3 in the packet that we received, the draft, that is specific to protecting best prime farmland, for instance, which is something we want to do in the county, and is congruent with this statement. But this statement in management of this policy, how do we do that? I don't see how that. Whether it's in there or not, it's not going to make or break this policy.
Anything else? All those in favor of the inclusion of Goal 3, Prosperity, and the subsequent objectives, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Schrader.
I have a question for staff on Goal 5, Policy 5.3.
Tell us what page you're on.
I'm on the original draft. It's
19 of 29?
19, page 19 of the 29 pages we received July 24th, or at least dated July 24th, 2009.
Okay.
Page 19 of 29. I just have a point of clarification. I'm not asking to change that particular one. It's 5.3. Yes.
And what do you need? What do you need clarified?
Okay.
Mr.
Clarification is non-agricultural construction in incorporated areas. We'll comply with building code. What's the definition of an agricultural building? Is that a house attached to the farmstead? Is that a livestock building? Is that a storage shed for machinery? Is that all included in the ag exemption? Okay.
Yes to all of those?
Thank you. Keep shaking his head. Yes.
Did you agree with those, Susan?
Yeah, a simple way to think about it is anything you don't need a permit from the planning and building, or excuse me, planning and zoning department.
Okay, thank you.
Any others we want to deal with?
I'm just curious what Mr. Schroeder's concern was in that area when you think you want. 5.3.
Well, just the definition of an agricultural a building, whether it be the farmhouse, is that considered agriculture? Livestock building? Just for clarification. Go ahead.
Ms. Monte?
I just wondered if it was an oversight. Item 7 was something the ELUC committee, or ELUC, specifically requested. It's just an addition of one word for clarification. In objective 8.5, on page 36.
Page 36.
Item 7.
In the packet, page 36.
36. Oh, there was number 7.
Can someone on staff answer that question? We're just inserting the word land. Is that basically
it was discussed at the August ELUC meeting,
okay,
and requested specifically.
Does someone want to move that amendment? Motion made by Ms. Ammons, seconded by Ms. Anderson. Is there discussion? This is objective 8.5, page 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, Ms. Monte.
And just to bring to your attention, in case you're not aware, item 3 on page 35 has not been considered yet. Maybe you're aware of that.
But item 3.
The specifying a minimum lot size. It'd be an additional policy, 3.1.9.
Okay. Someone want to move policy 3.1.9? Motion by Mr. Mosier. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Is there a discussion? Mr. Schrader.
Yeah, explanation, please.
Go ahead.
As I reviewed the table of lot... The table on page 34, which illustrated the various lot yields, something occurred to me that I've been thinking about throughout the entire goals and development of goals, objectives, and policies, and I finally realized it was more than just an issue about permit fees. Under our current system, of regulation makes it very clear that if it's a small lot, you can only do so many, and then you can only get a permit for a house on something that is 35 acres or greater on best prime farmland. So we've really thought of every imaginable size of parcel. And as a zoning administrator, I know what you can and can't do. But under this new approach of where, again, we're limiting the number of small lots, but then there's nothing in the policies that say what's supposed to happen with the remainder. And at a certain point, I know for a fact that if someone comes in on the 78 acres that's left over, well, say 77 acres that's left over after they've sold off their three small lots from an 80-acre tract, that is a de facto agricultural lot if I have no guidance in the ordinance that says otherwise. And on the 58 acres that's left over from a 60-acre, I'd be hard-pressed to say that's not an agricultural lot. And sooner or later, I think that you reach a size of remainder that Champaign County clearly intends, or maybe it doesn't, that it's not supposed to be treated as an agricultural lot. For example, you could take that all the way down to the 9-acre remainder from a 10-acre tract. Is that an agricultural tract? Because they're getting farm income from 9 acres. And so it's a problem we don't currently have. I'm convinced we're going to have it in the future. The policy lets us provide for it. It doesn't require us. It says will. You could change the will to may, but the point is, I think we're heading for a new problem that we don't currently have. And I'm sensitive to saying something later when we're doing implementation and then being criticized for slipping in a fairly significant new kind of regulation just as an implementation act rather than having a policy that clearly provides for it. So I wanted to propose it. Even if it isn't approved now, we can discuss it as an issue later, but I really think it's something the county board needs if you go with this approach of 1 + 1 per 40.
And I don't have a problem with that. I just want you to clarify that so I think myself and everyone else wouldn't understand what the addition was too. So thank you.
Does someone want to move policy 3.1.9?
It's already been moved.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry.
I just have a question on that. When we say the minimum lot size, who will you lock determine that and then send it to the board? And you will give us advice as to what you feel a minimum lot size should be? Or how do we know what minimum lot size we're going to...
We'll go through a process like this.
10 feet, 20 feet, 2 acres, 5 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it will have to be approved by the county board. It would eventually be approved as a zoning ordinance amendment.
Oh, okay. Zoning ordinance. So it doesn't necessarily have to be this could be a separate discussion on an agenda for ELOC, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It'll have to be. Yeah. And there's no number here now. This just lets us do it when we finally get there.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of policy 3.1.9 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Could I point out one thing? John, I forgot to mention one thing, but I think you understand we have a policy in here already that makes it very clear that the agricultural exemption applies to any farmer building a home, and so this is not meant to override that.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification.
Right.
Mr. Dennis.
John, just a little more clarification on that. If I decide to build a new farmstead and it encompasses how many acres it needs to, it's exempt.
Yep.
Thank you.
Anything else? We done?
I think that's it.
I think we're done.
Go back again to what we voted on earlier on the surface water protection. What did we vote to approve tonight?
We're taking the last phrase and provide appropriate conditions for native aquatic species.
That was removed.
That's removed.
We voted to remove it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if you've had an opportunity to review.
Point of order, I don't think we voted on that. Did we vote on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
I don't think we did. We didn't vote on that.
On what? On this last
three? Yeah. I don't think we voted on that.
Yes, we did.
No.
No, it was unanimous. It was on a voice vote.
Oh, okay. Okay.
1-for-40 was 6-3.
I don't remember a vote on that. I'm sorry.
It's getting late, folks.
It's getting very late, but we have still the request at hand if you would like this evening to sign off on Stage 2 as well as the Stage 3 future land use map if you're willing. So even though we've done these individual pieces, we're still looking for an official sign-off at some point from this group.
Are you up to doing this tonight, or do you want to think about it? Mr. Dennitz?
I would move to defer until October, because there's a lot here to understand.
There is also the handout that we got from Farm Bureau, and I don't know about you, but I honestly have not had a chance to go through these, and I even went to the land use meeting this month. So I think deferring would probably make sense.
Second at October 12th, I assume.
Okay. Right. We'll defer a final vote till next month.
Next month.
Right.
And we have to vote on the defer?
No. We had a motion and a second to defer. Thank you.
Second.
It's been already seconded. Need a vote. All those in favor of deferring action on this plan, Stage 2, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
Madam Chair, if I could request staff to, I guess, revise what we've done.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a clean.
With the last two meetings and update the draft.
It would be good to have clean
so
copies.
It'll show the changes we've made in because we've resectioned, we've renumbered some of the objectives, so if we would, please. I think
okay.
That's part of the confusion, too. We're trying to piece everything together and discuss, so
Susan
thank you.
Susan said that's doable. Okay, item 10. This has to do with hiring professional consultants for technical studies.
Just to be quick, I don't have the specific information we're hoping for tonight. I do have a report that I found three firms with Illinois offices. Claiming they're interested in giving us an idea of the cost of their services. Which is quite a relief because every bona fide wind farm designer that I contacted had no interest in helping a local government review a wind farm because they were afraid of repercussions from the wind farm developers. So it actually took significant effort to find three firms who have already done this and are interested in working with Champaign County. And I hope to have some cost information at the October meeting.
Mr. Langenheim.
I understand that you will have some cost estimates.
I can't hear you, Ralph.
Inasmuch as there are no cost estimates available at the time, I move we defer this to next month likewise.
Motion has been made by Mr. Langenheim, seconded by Mr. Dennitz to defer action on Mr. Hall's memo until next month. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're almost done. We have the monthly reports for the month of August. Can I hear a motion to receive and place these on file? Motion by Mr. Schrader.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Mosier. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I'm in favor.
Same side. Okay. Closed session minutes. Do we have any closed session minutes?
We have none for approval, and David Thorne recommends that all the closed session minutes stay closed.
All right. We will do that. Any other business?
One other thing. Mr. Rosales was asking questions at the open session, and he does not have one of these, but he's getting one tomorrow. Ms. Busey is going to make sure she's going to put up. Ms. Ammons said she had one. I didn't know if Mr. Smucker had one or not either. Could someone check to make sure he's got one of those? And Mr. Kurtz, do you have one of these? Mrs. Anderson?
But I've never gotten the whole packet like that.
Okay, I think everyone on 27, all 27 of us should have this. It's a great resource, and it says a lot.
We have no money in the budget. This is $100,000 to reprint this thing.
Glad you put it on the internet.
These are on the website.
All these are on the website,
they
too.
They are on the website.
Is it there on these packets that we've got, pretty much?
No, there's a lot of resource information in this book.
The minutes.
A lot of maps and geographical and they're great information. So.
The minutes are on the website, so if you want to go to the minutes, they are available. So.
Okay.
But certainly if somebody requests.
The whole background report.
Yeah.
This is a resource packet that
right.
First got.
I've gotten mailings every month in preparation for the LRMP that have the minutes and the draft.
That's not this. As a whole, there are some of that in here that was put in here. But it started out with, I don't want to belay this point.
We'll check into it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. After 2 hours, we don't have anything to go to the county board. Motion's been made to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Langenheim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
We should get the theme for dinner or something.